Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I praise you. I glorify your precious name. We love you in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. We lift up this place, this church. We lift up the body of Christ here. We pray your continued blessings upon us. Bless us now as we open your word. Father, I know folks tonight are tired. We all are tired. And so you just help us, you strengthen us, and fill us with your spirit and give us sharp, sharp minds as we seek to understand this topic. And you bless us, Father, because we know that we can't understand it unless you reveal it. So would you do that for us? We'll give you praise in Christ's name. His holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, Revelation 13. We're coming to an end, guys. We got just a couple more weeks, maybe three at the most, and we are done. Yes, ma'am. Do it over again, huh? Oh, wow.
It was pertaining to the hidden emblem. Okay, they believe that that was a person that came.
Right.
And
hidden. Yes.
And in thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Okay.
Okay, then we open up Revelation, 7th chapter.
Right.
And it says the one that was hidden and will be and so forth.
Right. Right.
So I had to sort it through my own mind. So if you'd like to think, is it pinpointing where the Antichrist is going to come out spiritually? Is this what the Revelation is saying spiritually?
Right.
Rather than this being an actual person 2,000 years old?
The hidden imam is a demonic being. Islam does not believe he's demonic. They believe he is spiritual and a good, he is their awaited one, their promised one. He is real in the sense that he is a demonic being. So in the sense that we would say, say Satan is real, so is the hidden imam. But not as a good, pure, and just one, which is how Islam sees him. But he is the darkness of Satan, masquerading as light.
So he's more
spiritual. Yes. Right. He was an actual human being, but that actual human being died. At least they don't. Of course, they would say he has not died. But we believe that he is an actual spiritual being. And he will, just like Satan has demons. He's like a demon. You know, we know that the demon world, we see in the New Testament, Christ exorcises people of demons. This is a demon. And his name is Abaddon. Revelations 9:14 gives him that name. He is the son of destruction in 2 Thessalonians 2. So he is an actual demonic being that masquerades behind Islam as a good spirit being.
I know that. What my point was, they believe that this is a human being, I thought, that was and is and will come and thousands and thousands and thousands.
1,300 years.
So that to me is a lie, because there's no human being, thousands.
Right. Well, wait now. Don't confuse who has the first word. The Bible was written before the Quran was ever written. You know, the Bible prophesied of the scarlet beast before Islam ever occurs. So it's not like the Bible's verifying Islam. It's like what the Bible's doing is the Bible is prophesying of a future demonic being who will portray himself in a certain way, will be believed by many to be in a certain way. But here is the truth about this one. He is not the way he portrays himself. He is a demonic being. So, at best, Islam has a half-truth. The whole truth is what God's word is. Is that... You know, he's real. What I don't want to do is communicate he's not real, because he's real. But he's a real demonic being. You know, Satan has a number of names, titles in the scriptures, and New Testament talks about the principalities, powers of the air. This would be one of those. He would be one of the top ones, but he's one of them. Dave? Mm-hmm. And yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the man professed that what happened was he was a Sunni. Which is, of course, different from Hidden Imam. Hidden Imam is from Shia Islam. This man was a Sunni. His brother, he and his brother were in the mosque in Mecca. And according to the prophecy, what happened was the brother calls out that this is the Mahdi. And so he and his followers took over the mosque in Mecca. And for a couple of weeks, they held the mosque, and the Saudis stormed the mosque and killed them all. And so he obviously was not the Hidden Imam or the Muhammad al-Mahdi, but that is true. It's exactly what happened in 1979. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, see, what this man did, he rose up against the Saudi regime. He was rising up against the Saudi regime, and a part of his demand was that what his promise was to redistribute wealth. That's one of the prophecies of the Mahdi. Okay? Okay, Francis, I appreciate that comment about being brilliant. Just stay around a little while and you realize that ain't so. Okay. Okay, turn to Revelation 13, and we will read the section that we're talking about tonight. You can look up there on the screen, and I'm just going to show you just a little bit. This is look at there. Jen is not here tonight, is she? She talked to me, fussed at me for not having a visual. So I got you a visual. Last week she fussed about that. Now let me just sort of explain this visual. We've gone over most of these creatures. But let me show you. There are basically three demonic creatures in Bible prophecy. Each one of these creatures has more than one name in Scripture. And this one appears, Satan. He's number one. Now, the reason why we say there are three is because Revelations 19:20, chapter 20, verses 1 through 2, what they talk about is in that passage, those two passages, it says that God dooms three beasts to the lake of fire. The dragon, the false prophet, and the beast. Those are the three that are doomed to the lake of fire. These other beasts are one of those three. some incarnation of one of those three. So what I have done is I've taken all the beasts in Scripture and I'll put them with one of those three beasts that will have judgment. I put them with the one they go with. For example, here's the second beast right here. This is in Scripture, he is called Beast. He's actually the beast of the sea in Revelation 13. And we have interpreted him to be Islam. We interpreted this beast to represent Islam. And remember, the reason why we got there was primarily was because this beast throughout the Scriptures has seven heads and 10 horns. And what we said was the seven heads represented the seven successive dynasties of Islam. We looked at Daniel 2. And what we saw in Daniel 2 was, this is actually the fourth beast of Daniel 2, part of the statue of Daniel 2, and I left that off of there, actually. But he is the fourth beast of Daniel 7 also. And he is Satan's primary deputy, called the Beast. He's not the Antichrist. He's simply called the Beast. Now, We have interpreted him to be Islam. Now remember that what I said was that there are three beasts, and each of them go to judgment. Each of them will be judged in the lake of fire. So what does that tell us about this beast relative to Islam? What else does it tell us about it? Think about it. Okay, you can't put Islam in the lake of fire. It's a religion. You can, and they do go. The followers, anybody whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life goes to the lake of fire. So that would include those of Islam. But there's a specific judgment of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Okay, so what does that tell us about our interpretation that that second beast is simply Islam? If you can't judge Islam.
You can't judge Allah either.
Why? How do you get that? How do you get that? Let's suppose that Allah is an angel who... Let's suppose Allah is is Satan masquerading as an angel of light. That's the point, see? Okay? In other words, you see this part here that says, called Allah? What am I saying? What I'm saying is this. There are three demonic beings that are going to be judged. One of them is Satan. We know that. The other one is the beast. He masquerades as Islam as a religion, and Islam as a religion has a primary head, and that head is called Allah. Okay? So this beast, whatever his spiritual name is, we don't know. Whatever his spiritual demonic name is, we don't know. We don't have to know. Although his number is calculated to be 666. Okay? But that's who that is right there. On a human plane, we call him Allah. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay? So this first beast is Satan. This second beast is the demonic being that masquerades behind Allah. He's real, just as real as Satan is. And if you think about it, if you were Satan, what better way for you to masquerade than through religion? I mean, it's a perfect disguise. And what you would do is, you would have to have your religion have some good attributes to it. Islam has some good attributes to it. It really does. Give alms to the poor. Pray five times a day. There are five of them. I can't remember the others. One of them have an annual hajj to once-in-a-lifetime hajj to Mecca. So there are five primary principles upon which Islam is based. Unfortunately, though, 140 verses in the Quran have to do with jihad. Okay, so what's happened is we got a masquerade as a good religion, and a lot of good people are following the good part of Islam, but as a religion, it is masquerading for this demonic creature right here who is Satan's number one deputy. Okay, now Sherry had her hand up first in the back. Sherry? Beats me. I don't know. All I know is that the scripture says, if you look at Revelations 13, look at Revelations 13. That's a very good point. I don't know why Satan would do that. But he says, look at 13, verse 1, he stood on the sand of the seashore. I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns, 7 heads, and on his head were 10 diadems. On his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like those of a bear. His mouth was like the mouth of a lion, which those, by the way, are the three beasts of Daniel 7. The dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. When we get over to Revelation 13, verse 11, what happens is that the beast from the earth then gives authority to, I'm sorry, the beast from the sea then gives authority to the beast from the earth. Okay, Leah, you had a question. Yes.
And they're addressing Christianity as that.
No. No. They have a Satan called Dajjal. And in fact they have an antichrist in the last days. Not an antichrist, but a Satan who would be in Islam the antichrist equivalent. They have that in Islam.
That's not Christianity.
No. No. Okay, so this is the beast. He's also the beast from the sea. He's the fourth beast in Daniel 7, and he is who is called Allah in Islam. Now, and here's the third one. This is the beast of Revelations 13, and here are all his names. He's a beast out of the earth in Revelations 13, beginning in verses 11. He's also the scarlet beast in Revelation 17. He's a false prophet of Revelations 19:20. He's a man of lawlessness of 2 Thessalonians 2. He's the other horn of Daniel 7:24. He is the Antichrist, and he is who we call Muhammad. We are calling Muhammad al-Mahdi. Okay? All right, so those are the three beasts. Now, this is the image. We'll get to this in a minute. Okay, so let's look at Revelations 13, and we'll try to pick up where we left off with just a really quick review in verse 11. Okay, so he says, first comes out of the sea, the beast from the sea comes out. That is what we said was Islam in general, Islam as a religion, but also the demonic beast behind Islam. Verse 11 says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Okay, last week, what did we say about 2 horns like a lamb and speaking as a dragon? What did we say about that? What did that tell us about him? Looks like a lamb, so he's going to appear to be harmless, peace and justice. He's going to be, this is where what's the guy's name that wrote all the books? Yeah, Tim LaHaye's charismatic. This is the verse it comes from. Okay, he looks like a lamb, has 2 horns like a lamb, he speaks as a dragon. So what he's saying is he's warning us. He's going to look very peaceful. He's going to act very peaceful. He's going to promise lots of peace and justice, but he's going to speak as a dragon. So don't trust what he says. That's what he's saying. And this, on your little graph up here, there are the two horns like a lamb right up at the top. Okay? That's why I have them there. Okay, verse 12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. Okay, who's the first beast? Not Satan. It's beast number two up here, which is the beast out of the sea. Okay? In other words, what this gentleman is, you notice I got a diagram, so the red arrow is pointing here. What I'm trying to say is, here's the line of authority. It starts with Satan, comes down to the beast, then goes to the Antichrist right here. The only power the Antichrist has comes from this beast. That's why it says he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. So the Antichrist is, in essence, basically an underling of this beast right here. We together? Okay? Okay, so it says, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship who? The first beast. See? This figure right here, beast number three, is not trying to be worshipped. He's pointing to this beast. He directs people to this beast, to the second beast. Who would that resemble? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus Christ, to God the Father. This beast right here points to this one. Points to Islam. Points to Allah. Think of it that way. All right? We together? Yes.
But you said that Revelation's three beasts.
Right. Right.
But that's only two beasts unless you count Satan as one beast.
Yeah. Satan is the dragon. But in Revelation 13, when it talks about the first beast, it's not talking about the dragon. It's talking about the first beast in chapter 13, which is the beast out of the sea. Okay, so what this beast is, the beast from the earth, can't do anything unless the beast from the sea is there with him to sort of give him and bless his power. Says he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed, and he performs great signs. So the Antichrist is going to perform the miraculous. We talked about that. So that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth, which would be who? Humanity. He deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. So who gave him the power to do the signs? Beast number two. Okay, telling those who dwell on the earth. Okay, wait, verse 14. He deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth, that would be you, that'd be humanity, to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. Okay, that is this beast right here. Beast number two had the wound of the sword, which is the wound that was given to the first head that died, which should have killed that beast. This beast recovered. And what he's telling, it says, those on the earth are to make an image to this beast. That's what this is right here. This is an image that this beast makes right here of this beast. Now, the phrase image, I mean, in the Greek, the word image has a meaning of picture. A picture or a representation of the beast, not an idol. It's really strange. It's like it's going to be some kind of representation. Could be a statue. But some kind of representation of this beast that this Antichrist is going to have made right here. Now, what should be significant to us is this. Risa, come on over, hon. Sit with somebody. Okay, here's what's significant. Islam, you don't want to sit by yourself. Go on this side. Okay. Oh, here comes Mark. So let's move on down some more. So you weren't sitting by yourself after all. It was just me. Wouldn't give you a chance. Yeah, you okay, Jack? That's right. I know, I should have done that. Okay, now, here we go. Okay, here's what's significant. Here's what's significant. you're going to get in the doghouse. You better get back over here by your wife, man. I tell you, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Okay. All right, okay. Okay, here's what's significant about this. Islam, what is the Quran say about the making of pictures or representations? What'd you say? It's forbidden. It's considered a sin in Islam. That's one of the reasons in Saudi Arabia, at least they used to, I'm not sure what they're doing right now, but they used to not let Saudis watch television because there were pictures on the TV. And to make a picture was a violation of the Quran. And so here's what's interesting, is that what the text is telling us is that the Antichrist will make some kind of representation of Allah, which would be a violation of the Quran. Now, the only way that I can understand that is this. One of the prophecies in Islam of Muhammad Almighty is that he will bring a new book. He will bring a new Quran that will have different provisions in it than the existing one. One of those we talked about a couple of weeks ago was dealing with dhimmis. You remember we talked about dhimmis? Dhimmis were conquered people who were given grace almost, as long as you subjected yourself to Islam. You could still practice your religion, you just couldn't tell anybody about your religion. Well, Muhammad will not allow that exception anymore when he comes, Muhammad Almighty. So that's the only thing that I can understand about that. But this particular image that he makes, whatever it might be, what the text tells us, what does it tell us about this image? What's going to happen to it? Look at verse 15. There was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So what he's saying is, this image will come to life and will start speaking. Well, if something like that happens, we won't have to look very far to figure out how to interpret it. Okay, do you see what it's saying? This is not what would be called a false sign and wonder.